Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Tonight in our study on 2 Samuel, we're in chapter 16, the war council of Absalom. Unfortunately, Israel's in a terrible state of turmoil, unrest. David is fleeing with some loyal followers, crossing Kidron Valley, heading out towards the Jordan. Absalom, his son, has followers, and they're taking over and occupying Jerusalem. In our last studies, we've seen David, and a number of people are coming to him. And he is working with them, the priests, the people, Philistines. Shimei comes, Hushai comes, different people. And David continues on. When he heard that Ahithophel had joined the rebellion, he prayed, he worshiped. And it's fun that we see that God sent Hushai as a direct answer to that prayer and worship. And I think that's one of the very, 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 very powerful lessons to learn in this study. When all seems lost, prayer and worship is what David did. And God sent the answer before he asked. Amazing, the God that we serve. Well, we've seen Ziba and Mephibosheth at odds with each other, Shimei cursing David. And now tonight, we're going to see Hushai making it into Jerusalem, getting accepted into the inner circle of Absalom, and the beginning of the deception to overthrow and to defeat the council of Ahithophel. Let us read our text verses tonight. 2 Samuel 16, 15 through 23. And Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel with him. And it came to pass, when Hushai the Archite, David's friend, was come to Absalom, that Hushai said unto Absalom, God save the king, God save the king. And Absalom said to Hushai, is this thy kindness to thy friend? Why wentest thou not with thy friend? And Hushai said unto Absalom, nay, but whom the Lord and this people and all the men of Israel chose, his will I be, and with him will I abide. And again, whom should I serve? Should I not serve the presence of his son? As I have served in thy father's presence, so will I be in thy presence. Then said Absalom to Ahithophel, give counsel, you, what we shall do. And Ahithophel said unto Absalom, go in unto thy father's concubines, which he hath left to keep the house. And all Israel shall hear that thou art abhorred of thy father. Then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong. So they spread Absalom a tent upon the top of the house, and Absalom went in unto his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. Let us consider this passage. Verse 15. And Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel with him. How quickly the people have forsaken David, accepted Absalom. Here we have got all the people, the men of Israel, and Ahithophel is cited. Of course, because of his significance as a dear counselor, as a very, very wise man. Surely he is noteworthy. We have been seeing for the last few chapters what's happening as David is fleeing from the city of Jerusalem, the core of the rebellion, and yet now we get in and see the inner workings of what's going on in the other side. In the camp of Absalom. Ahithophel was a great man, and therefore his joining the rebellion has given Absalom much credibility. But we shall see more as we study this, not tonight, but in the future, of what is awaiting Ahithophel. Well, Hushai joins this group as a mole in their midst, a spy. Very dangerous territory, if he is found out. So it is, we have simultaneous action. As David is on the other side of the Mount of Olives on his way out towards Jordan, we have him, what's going on over there, and we have now what's going on inside the camp. What is going on in David's camp? Well, let's see. Ziba is arguing with Mephibosheth. Shimei is cursing him. Abishai wants to cut his head off. And David is saying, you know what? I got such bigger problems. I don't need to deal with this. Because at the same time, he's got Hushai in the core of the enemy camp. And they've taken over the city. And there's all sorts of vile activity planned. David is saying, listen, folks, there's a bigger picture than petty differences. And so it is with Christians. Let's not get caught up with the silliness of this world and petty issues. They may seem big at the time, but souls are dying and going to hell. David is saying, I'm losing the kingdom. Let's deal with the bigger issues. I want to, along that light, read a quote. When Absalom came to the city, there was no trace of an enemy to oppose him. His supporters in Jerusalem would not doubt go out to meet him and conduct him to the palace with great demonstrations of delight. Once within the palace, he would receive the adherence and congratulations of his friends. Among these, Hushai the Archite presents himself, having returned to Jerusalem at David's request, and it is Hushai's honor that Absalom was surprised to see him. The sight of Hushai impressed Absalom as the sight of an earnest Christian in a gambling saloon or on a race course, which would impress the greater part of the worldly men. For even the world has a certain faith in godliness, to this extent at least that it ought to be consistent. There is a fitness of things to which the world is sometimes more alive than Christians themselves. But Hushai was not content with putting in a silent appearance for Absalom. When his consistency is challenged, he must repudiate the idea that he has any preference for David. I find it amazing that he says it's good that Absalom was shocked to see him. As someone ought to be shocked to see a Christian in certain places. Hushai greets Absalom, verse 16, and it came to pass, when Hushai the Archite, David's friend, was come unto Absalom, that Hushai said unto Absalom, God save the king, God save the king. If you look back in your notes, you would see verses 15 to 31. Chapter 15, 31 to 34, we see David sending Hushai back. Hushai had come with no expectation that he's all of a sudden going to be the one assigned this job. But he then asks, is challenged to go back. He accepts the challenge. He goes and he's going to do it well. He thought he was going to join David and leave, get out of here. Instead, he was sent back into the very thick of the battle. Who knows where we're going to be sent to serve God? Some are going to stay on the home front. Some are going to be out in the battle lines in foreign territory. But let me tell you what. The safest place to be is where God wants you. If God wants you in the front lines and you're in the back lines hiding for safety, you're in the most dangerous place you could be. Go where God wants you to go. Earlier in our study, we considered lies in the Bible. And here we are seeing a hotbed right now of lies with Hushai as he is pretending to be something he's not. And we studied and considered this diligently, that there are times you're going to have to choose between virtues. I can't lie. Really? Do you realize how many lives you will save if you can get into the inner circle and frustrate the cause of Absalom and end this miserable rebellion? Now what are you going to choose? Well, okay, I guess I can lie. And we saw other instances, case in point, in Exodus chapter 1, where the Hebrew women literally lied because they were sparing the children alive. And it says, God blessed them and gave them houses. Folks, we must always choose the higher virtue. Sometimes you're going to be put in situations you've got to make some decisions. And I am convinced Hushai has chosen correctly. Go in there and pretend to frustrate and bring down this rebellion. Absalom is surprised to see him. Verse 17. And Absalom said to Hushai, is this thy kindness to thy friend? Why wentest thou not out with thy friend? His past loyalty to David was well known. This is how you treat my father? He could say, well, what about you? Here he is. I perceive their meeting is actually in the palace. And if you think about it, the last time Absalom was in the palace was when, after a 2-year exile in his own home outside of Jerusalem, he's brought in to meet his father. There's this pretend meeting and nothing is resolved. Before that, he was several years in Geshur. Now it's his home. I'm estimating it's about 5 years that he had a significant time in that palace. And here he is, and Hushai comes up to him, and they have this meeting. Hushai declares his loyalty to Absalom. In verse 18, Hushai said, nay, but whom the Lord and this people and all the men of Israel choose, his will I be, and with him will I abide. Sounds holy, doesn't it? He's smooth. 19, and again, whom should I serve? Should I not serve the presence of his son as I have served in his father's presence? So will I be in thy presence. At first, I perceive Absalom would not have trusted him. Who are you? What are you doing here? But he quickly softened. I think that Absalom is blinded by his pride. Oh, everybody just loves me. And surely, of course, here's another one that fell from my father's side and is now by me. And so it is, Hushai really is in very dangerous territory. And yet God's hand is with him. Now it's interesting that how quickly it flips from this guy that, what are you doing here? Oh, okay. And they immediately start to have plans on the battle. What should we do? Sure, come on in. There's apparently a meeting of the minds. We only know of 3 of the participants, Absalom, Hushai, and Ahithophel. I want you to stop and think as we really analyze what's going on in this passage. The sovereignty, the power, the awesome providence of God in the affairs of men. Can we please really appreciate this? Let's go back and consider time and the events, how they had to be orchestrated only by God. Chapter 15, verse 31. And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Verse 32, it came to pass when David was come to the top of the mount where he worshipped God. Now remember, David just whispered this prayer. Simple but profound, and God heard it. And he gets to the top of the mount, and he worships. Behold, Hushai the Archite came to meet him. Wait a minute, I just prayed, I just worshipped, and here's the answer. God's timing. Hushai did not know, hey, you better get up there. He needs you to be a spy. He was moved by God at the right time to show up when David needed him. And so he sends him back. Verse 33, unto whom David said, if thou passest on with me, then thou shalt be a burden. But if thou return to the city and saith unto Absalom, I will be thy servant, O king, as I have been thy father's servant hitherto, so will I now also be thy servant. Then mayest thou for me defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. Would you please go back to the city, penetrate the inner circle, and defeat their counsel. Verse 15 of 2 Samuel 16. Chapter 16, 15. And Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel with them. It came to pass, when Hushai the Archite, David's friend, was coming to Absalom, he just happened to be there at the right time. It's all working together. Absalom's moving into town, Hushai's moving into town, and they happen to be at the same place at the right time. Hey, here I am. Folks, God works things out. Take the word coincidence out of the Christian vocabulary. Do you want a new definition of coincidence? It means God chooses to be anonymous. That's all it is. God is behind every deed. And sometimes we think he's late. He is never late. He is right on time. Because he can see the whole thing. Hushai showed up at the right time to present himself to enter the war council. You got to be kidding me. This is a coincidence? Can you not see him as he's walking back thinking to himself, how in the name of common sense am I going to do this? And God says, don't worry about it. When you walk up there, you're going to be at the right place at the right time. He's going to give you a couple minute introduction, and he's going to immediately ask Ahithophel for counsel. And you're going to be right there. You must be kidding me. Can you please remember this passage when you feel that things are not moving the way you want them to go? God is delaying you, and God is opening doors for you according to his perfect will. And you will be exactly where you need to be, provided you're seeking his face, where he wants you to be. Verse 20. Then said Absalom to Ahithophel. Now remember, he just is talking to Hushai, welcoming him to town. And he turns to Ahithophel and immediately goes into war council. Then said Absalom to Ahithophel, give counsel among you what we shall do. Can you not imagine the shock of Hushai? Well, this is the very reason I came. And I walked right into it. And he's pinching himself. You can see this, that Absalom's going, something wrong? No, no, no. And Absalom said to Ahithophel, give counsel among you what we shall do. And Ahithophel said to Absalom, go in unto thy father's concubines, which he hath left to keep the house, and all Israel shall hear that thou art abhorred of thy father. Then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong. Why would Ahithophel give such perverted counsel? Because he's Bathsheba's grandfather, and he is hotter than a hornet. And he is seeking personal vengeance here. He is not looking out for Absalom's rebellion at all. He first of all wants his little vengeance, then we'll deal with little Absalom's plot. He didn't join Absalom because he likes Absalom. He joined Absalom because he hates David. So it is, this is nothing more than revenge. I want you to think about this. This man was once David's most cherished counselors with the wisdom of God, and he can get his heart that hard that he can offer such perverted counsel. Christian, David took Bathsheba and murdered Uriah. Ahithophel has advocated incredible immorality with Absalom and David's concubines. These are godly men that allowed themselves to get into tremendous sin. All of us must take heed, because our heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? And we must be very careful, because if they can fall, we can fall. Quote, having established himself in the confidence of Absalom, Hushai gained a right to be consulted in the deliberations of the day. He enters the room where the new king's counselors are met, but he finds it a godless assemblage. The first to propose, of course, is Ahithophel, and there is something so revolting in the first scheme which he proposed that we wonder how much that such a man should ever have been a counselor of David. Without hesitation, Absalom complied with the advice. It is a proof how hard his heart had become, that he did not hesitate to mock his father by an act which was as disgusting as it was insulting. Verse 22, so they spread Absalom a tent upon the top of the house, and Absalom went in unto his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. This was prophesied way back in chapter 12 when Nathan confronted David concerning his great sin. He told the story of the little lamb and the rich man. David set forth a condemnation on this man, and Nathan said, "Thou art the man." And David was told these words by Nathan in 2 Samuel 12:11. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. David was speaking God's words. This is what's going to happen, David. Now, I think there's something very simple and very profound here. Nathan is speaking, obviously, as moved, as led, as inspired by God Almighty. And he says these words in chapter 12, verse 11, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy, underline it, wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives. That is the word Nathan was moved by God to say. In chapter 16, verse 22, is a fulfillment of that prophecy, and look at the words that are used under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, chapter 16, 22. So they spread Absalom a tent upon the top of the house, and Absalom went in unto his father's concubines. God called them wives when it was dealing with the heart root issue, but here we are recorded the words of the ungodly, sinful, bitter behavior of men. Well, they're only concubines. They're not really wives. Concubine basically means this. It's an excuse for sin. Do you ever wonder what is a concubine? It's a name to cover sin. That's all. She's not a wife. She's a concubine. Oh, well, that's different. It is? Mankind can come up with different names for different things, but truth is truth. The story of Abraham Lincoln. He said, suppose we call the lamb's tail a leg, how many legs does the lamb have? And the answer is four, because it doesn't matter what we call the tail, a tail is a tail. What do we do today? Oh, that's not a baby, that's a fetus. It's not a human being yet. Justifying the act of abortion. It's not a baby. It's a fetus. Oh, well, then that's different. No. No, that's not true. Life starts immediately. It's a human being. Now, I have to wonder what David knew or what he was thinking. I think as he is fleeing from the city, sometimes his thoughts aren't quite there, and I can't blame him. He has so much on his mind. He's probably an overload. I wonder if when it's all over and he realizes what happened, he's going to think back to when he was a fugitive from Saul in 1 Samuel, and he went to the Philistines for refuge, and he was given the town of Ziklag. And he was doing raids around the area, And he's got himself in an alignment with the Philistines to go fight against Saul. While he was up there, the Amalekites came, captured and hauled off his wife and children and everybody else's family. So this is really the second time that David has left his family and there's been trouble. He came back, and of course, this time, David is a different man. He has surely his sin, as we all have our sin. God was still merciful, and David recovered everything, and they were all protected. But this time, David, it's a whole new ball game because of your intense sin with Bathsheba and Uriah. They're not protected. I really believe God allowed that because of the sin. David's great sins have caused many people to suffer. And is that not true of any leader? And the higher authority they have, the greater people suffer by their blunders. Families suffer at the failure of the father. Churches suffer by church leadership or the pastors and the other leaders of the church. Businesses suffer when the boss is not making right decisions and doing ill. And it is for countries, cities, and towns, and go down the list, the great responsibility on leadership to do right, because our sins do affect other people. I kind of want to think, too, about some other kind of issues. In 2 Samuel 14:27, let us read. And unto Absalom there were born 3 sons, 1 daughter, whose name was Tamar. Do you ever wonder what his family's thinking right now? He has no consideration for his own family. All he knows is bitterness and hatred against his father and the perverted counsel he got from Ahithophel. Boy, did that just fall on fertile ground. You bet. Great idea. Let's go through with it. He had no consideration. So here is Ahithophel, this wise man. He's not looking out for the cause. Is this really, if you're in warfare, the best thing to do? No. Proverbs 21:30, there is no wisdom nor understanding nor counsel against the Lord. David is still God's man. He has confessed. God has forgiven. Surely he is suffering the consequences of his sin, but he is still in the protective hand of God. And there is no wisdom or counsel against David. He is God's man. And you are protected, folks. If you sin, confess it, get it over with, take the consequences. God will still bless and protect you. Truth did not matter to Absalom or Ahithophel. Their logic was pathetic. And the cause was right now unimportant. They just saw bitterness and vengeance. How could they do such wickedness against God? David, himself, his wife, his children, Israel. Let's go back and consider why Absalom is so bitter. I think he had a lousy family life. He had too many women in the house and too many stepbrothers and sisters because of his father's sin. But if you remember, he had a sister, Tamar, who was very pretty. He had a half-brother that wanted to have her. So, let's read chapter 13, verse 3. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, and Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said unto him, Amnon, why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. Well, that's no big deal. Pretend you're sick and force yourself on her. So, his sister was taken by perverted counsel. And it bothered him so much, he murdered Amnon. Remember the story? Now he's the one given counsel for perverted behavior. The same thing he murdered Amnon for. How is it we can see somebody else's sin so clearly and not our own? You are guilty of the very thing that you took vengeance on your half-brother Amnon. 2 Samuel 13:28. Now Absalom had commanded his servants, saying, "Mark ye now when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say unto you, smite Amnon, then kill him. Fear not, for have I not commanded you? Be courage and be valiant." And now look at the counsel he gets. Chapter 16, verse 20. Then said Absalom to Ahithophel, "Give counsel what we shall do." And Ahithophel said, "Go in unto thy father's concubines that he hath left to keep the house." Same sin, except 10 times worse. If you think your brother Amnon deserved to die, guess what that means for you? The sad truth is, this story is the results of sin. The man, after God's own heart, David, sinned greatly. Ahithophel, a once great man of God, has fallen into intense bitterness. Was he wronged? Yeah. Is God on the throne? Yeah. Does vengeance belong to the Lord? Yeah. Let it go. Because God will do a far better job than you and I ever will. 23. 2 Samuel 16:23, "And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God." It was like absolutely walking up and hearing the audible voice of God. This man was so godly, and he fell. We can all fall if we're not careful. And so it is. Ahithophel's sin is at the root of this, and Absalom's sin is at the root of this. His bitterness has stirred him to overthrow his father. And how many innocent people suffer because of other people's sin? 2 Samuel 15:11, "And with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem. They were called, and they went in their simplicity. They knew not anything." They're victims. And how many people are victims? By the way, this is how we need to look at the unsaved out in the byways and highways where we go throughout the week. They are victims to this world where Satan is the prince and the power of the air. They need the gospel. They don't need our condemnation. We pass people every day, and sometimes they may not dress, look, and talk like we think they ought to, and you're right. However, they are victims of the prince of the power of the air. They don't need criticized. They need the gospel. We carry the truth. Folks, don't ever start preaching morality. You know, you shouldn't dress that way. You shouldn't be living with your boyfriend, girlfriend. They shouldn't. But if we start preaching that, we have just preached a works gospel. Do you want to get right with God? You need to stop doing this and stop doing this and trust Jesus. What did you just teach them? Works. Should they stop that? Yes, but let's keep it in order. Hey, I got a tract here for you. I got good news. And tell them the good news. Jesus paid for their sins. Let the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and their Christian growth lead them then into changed behavior. But let's not be unclear in our message. Salvation is by grace apart from works. Then we start to teach them and disciple them. There's a better way. There's a God-honoring way.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.